Welcome to Loving People to the Cross. I'm Pastor Tom Crandall. I'm so excited that you've joined us today. I hope and pray that this word from the Lord encourages you and uplifts you in your spirit. And I hope it draws you to walk closer with Him. Remember, after the podcast, stick around for one more message from me, your host, Pastor Tom Crandall. God bless you, my friend. Love you. We say thank you for an opportunity to come into your house, Father God. Lord, this morning I want to ask that you'll move me out of the way, Lord. Let your word be spoke ever so true. Father God, I ask that you'll preach to us this morning, that you will hit our hearts, Lord, right where they need to be hit. Father God, that you even now begin to prepare the heart of the people, Lord, that will receive this word from you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, and the church said, amen. This morning, I want you to take your Bible and join me in the 10th chapter of the book of John. The 10th chapter in the book of John, verses 10 through 14 is where we're going to be at. This is a verse that I have quoted many times. The enemy came to do what? Kill, steal, and destroy. Amen. And I want us to come to the realization this morning of exactly what it is the enemy wants to kill. He wants to kill your joy, your faithfulness to the Father. He knows if your joy is gone, he's got a little bit of your faithfulness. Amen. He knows if you're not as excited as you once was, or if there's a little bit of discouragement there, that you are just kind of distant. And exactly what does he want to steal? He wants to steal that abounding trust and peace that he knows that Jesus brings into your life. Destroy what exactly? Destroy your relationship with the Father. When we're in sync, if you will, when we're in tune with the Father, the enemy is concerned, amen? That's when he attacks the most. This morning, I want to draw our attention to something a little more deeper, though. So if you will, read with me, starting in verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. And I come they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I want to share a fun fact with you about that word abundantly. I'm excited about this word. Some of y'all know I'm a word guy. I like to dig in and find the root meanings and things of that nature. And even in the Greek Hebrew, that word abundant has the same meaning as it does in the English language. It's what I find fascinating. And it simply means this: in large quantities and plentiful. He wants to give us life in large quantities and plentiful. Now look, when life comes, we get discouraged sometimes with life. Amen? Life happens. Life is hard. The bills pile up. Sometimes the bill collector calls. And sometimes life just gets on your nerves. Amen? Come on now, I work for a living too. It's okay. And sometimes you're looking at it and you're like, you know what? I'm so busy. I've got all of these things to do. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to read the Word of God. But Jesus didn't come to give us a life of sitting back on the sideline saying, well, you know, it's hard. It's tough. That's when the enemy has already attacked. Amen? When your mindset changes into, oh man, this is part of life. It's tough. Jesus came to give us life in large quantities, plentiful. Now, I want to share a fun fact with you all this morning, that as Jesus came to give life and give it more abundantly, why do we drag our feet? Oh man, you know, it's been a long week and all this stuff's going on and I don't know what to do. Y'all ever watch Winnie the Pooh? Y'all remember Eeyore? Have you ever met a Christian Eeyore? Come on now. Well, life's just hard on me. Life is only as hard as your faith in Christ is weak. Say that one more time. Life is only hard when your faith in Christ is weak. Well, I have strong faith. I've always got faith in the Lord that He's going to pull me through. I've got faith in the Lord. Do you really? Because when we really rely on Jesus, when we really put our hope and trust in Him and in Him alone, everything else seems to matter. Catch me here. Everything else seems to matter. None. He didn't come to give us life more abundantly, more plentiful, and in large amounts. Do you know what large means? Big, a lot, more than a little. I want y'all to understand this. As we look at life, and it's hard, it's difficult, and we get all of these explanations in life that nobody can really help us fathom. Do you know there are people who spend a majority of their day trying to disprove the existence of Jesus only to prove His existence? Man, you got to be bored out of your mind to try to disprove that He came to give you life more abundantly. Listen to me. Friday, was it Friday, Bud, I called you? Yeah, it was Friday. I called Bud. Bud and I was talking. I get a cat on my phone. I had to come over here to Hickman. Y'all, I'm going to tell you this, and you can say what you want, but Satan sat in the back seat of my car Friday. I've never heard such ignorance in my life. This gentleman tells me, I've studied every religion. The only religion I have found to be true is myself, my own religion, the religion I created. Jesus, and he begins to degrade our Lord and Savior. And I stopped him. I said, whoa, fella, I'm going to stop you right there. I will listen to you. I will listen to your beliefs. I will listen to your theories. I will listen to your ideologies and your ideology. But I will not listen as you degrade my Lord and Savior. He looked at me and said, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, man, it's so ironic. You can't even say his name. You need to turn that radio off. I find it offensive. I said, the knobs don't work. No. We began to talk a little bit. And he said, man, he said, I've done everything. I've been to churches. This is where he lost faith in the church. You ready? He said, I've been to churches and I began to struggle and things began to go wrong in my life. And I was really just down and out. And he said, I would pray and I would pray. And I even asked for help from some people in the church and they laughed at me and none of them would really want to help me. He said, so I found comfort. Catch this. These were his words, not mine. He said, I found comfort in the drug house. I found comfort in the whiskey bottle where nobody in that church would help me understand why my life was going the way that it was going. He said, that's why I don't believe in your religion. I said, well, let me tell you about my Jesus. And he looked at me and I could see it on his face in the mirror and he was just waiting for some phenomenal explanation on why people treated him like garbage. I said, I'm sorry that people treated you the way they did. I said, because if they knew who they were in Christ, they would have never treated you the way they did. I'm going to tell you something, church. We better start acting like the hands and feet of Jesus because there are people out there right now who are dying, who have no idea who Jesus is other than the ideas and the opinions of other people, who have no idea what the Scripture says because they hear it for what they want it to be and they take the preacher's word for it. Come on now. I came to preach this morning. Carrie told me not to do this, but I'm doing it. I want you to understand this. We have so many people all around us who are hurting and broken, and they're waiting on somebody to tell them Jesus came to give you life more abundantly. The enemy came to kill, steal, and destroy, but my Jesus, the one whom I serve, the one who I call upon, the one who knows me by name, the one that knows every number of hairs on my head, man alive, He came to give us life and give it to us more abundantly in large and plentiful quality. Doesn't say quality, does it? It says quantity. Catch me here. We look for quality in everything else. You may go out to a restaurant and you sit down and they bring you that $125 meal. If you go to a restaurant and you pay $125 for a meal, you need to be delivered this morning. Amen. and you sit down and they bring you that plate and you got a little bitty old thing of potatoes like this and you got a little piece of meat that Waylon would look at and goes, where's the rest of it? That is not the life He came to bring us. Amen? He came to give us a life. We look at materialistic things. Let me tell you something. Your bank account does not define you. Your social status does not define you. Your relationship with Christ defines you. Your heartbeat for the Lord defines you. What you seeking, when you seek ye first the kingdom of God. Come on now, church. I thought y'all were ready this morning. When you seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of His righteousness, not bits and pieces of it. Mama Deb, you over here in agreement with me. I'm going to preach to you. Nobody else listening this morning. But we'll get them awake in a minute. When we seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of His righteousness, then all of those other things are added. Nothing else that's added matters because we want to seek Him more. We fall more in love with Jesus. When you fall more in love with Jesus, come on, church. When you fall more in love with Jesus, nothing else matters except for your walk with Christ. And if you're not walking after Him, what are you walking after? My heart breaks over this. My heart burns over this. Y'all, I don't just preach this. My wife will tell you, I live this. I spend time with Him in that secret place because I want to know Him more. So when I come in this place, I'm not just giving y'all my opinions. I'm giving you the life that He has led me to live. I'm giving you Him. We're so caught up on moments of satisfaction. We're looking for an emotional response out of the church, and the church doesn't want an emotional response. They want Jesus. People are seeking Him and they're saying, you know, the enemy came to kill, steal, and destroy, but we forgot something, that He came to give us life more abundantly. I'm not even going to get past this. I see that now. We're so caught up on the opinions and ideology and the ideology and the theology of other people that we don't find Him for who He is through the Word of God. We're not seeking Him, and we're not seeking ye first the kingdom of God because we're too busy focusing on that first part that says the enemy came to kill, steal, and destroy. What are we losing? We're not losing the battle because I've read this from Genesis to Revelation, y'all. In the end, we win. We win. What do we have to lose? What do we have to offer? Our eternity with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. There is going to come a day that every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess that He is Lord. This morning I came to tell you that your life is meant to be in large quantities and plentiful. Verse 11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. Now, I want y'all to understand something. Fun fact about a shepherd in the Old Testament, okay? Because at this point, that's all they had was the Old Testament. New Testament hadn't been written yet, amen? It was in the process. Fun fact about a shepherd. A shepherd during the time of the Old Testament was often, but not always, a child. Catch this. Wasn't always, but most often, was a kid. And you know what I find unique about that? They would give them this staff. And a lot of time that staff would be as tall as they were, if not taller. And on the end of that staff was a ball, a knot, if you will. And they would take shards of metal or whatever they had laying around and they would drive it into it, the end of that staff, so that child could use it as a weapon to ward off wild animals and beasts. Ladies and gentlemen, He gave us a weapon to fight off the enemy in the wild. I'm going to tell you something. This morning as I sat here and I listened to all these kids, my heart began to do flips. No, I wasn't having another heart attack, I promise. My heart began to do flips. Because I began to come to realize something. Half of the kids around us in this day and time don't even know who Jesus is. Christmas time comes and they're celebrated. And they might tell them a little bit about what it's really about. Come on now, church. Y'all with me yet? Easter comes and we don't even want to tippy-toe around out. You just don't want to get into that. We're going to go to church once a year. We're going to go to the Sunday school once a year. And we're going to go eat with mama and daddy and grandmama and them once a year. And we're going to do all these things. Kids today, thank God for parents in this church who bring their kids to church. Amen. This morning, I want to tell you something, and I came to proclaim. I'm going to make an announcement here in a minute. I'm going to do it now. This will be the last sermon I preach. He didn't call me to preach, Mama Deb. He called me to proclaim. See, and I want you to understand this morning I stand before you and I proclaim not only over my family, but your family, your wife, your kids, you, your husbands, over your grandchildren. I came this morning to stand before you and proclaim victory in the name of Jesus. The attacks are going to come. The enemy's going to come. Things are going to happen. Life's going to get hard. The enemy's going to attack. But when he attacks, let me tell you something, by George, the church of Protemus will stand here, and I as your pastor, her as your pastor's wife, and them as your pastor's children, we will stand and we will pray with you. We will fight with you. We will give you Jesus, nothing more, nothing less. But I promise you this, I'm not going to lay down anymore and watch the enemy attack these kids. I'm not, come on now. I need y'all to wake up. Okay, listen to me. Listen to me when I say this, spiritually wake up. Because it's when the people of God have had enough. It's when the people of God say, I've heard enough. When the people of God stand up and say, hold on a minute, wait, what? He came to give me life more abundantly. He came so I could have life that was plentiful. He didn't say it was going to be easy. He didn't say that it was going to be a bed of roses. He came to give you life. He didn't go to the cross for nothing. Let me tell you something. When you're faithful to the church, amen, that's amazing. But when you're faithful to your Father, which is in heaven, that's even better. Church, I want to tell you something. Add that to the dry cleaner list. I want to tell you something this morning. We're at a dilemma. We're at a crossroad right now. The news is unfolding everywhere you look. It's worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse every day. I believe the beginning of the birth pains are in front of us. I do. I truly believe that. And I want to tell you right now, I don't care how long you've been in these pews. I don't care how long your mama and daddy is. Some of y'all might have had a drug problem when you was kids, getting drugged back and forth to church. I don't care about none of that right now. What I do care about is how faithful you are to the Lord. I'm glad you come to church. Amen. I'm glad you're faithful to the church. I had a gentleman tell me yesterday. He looked at me and he said, Tom, I was just telling Dale. He didn't say Pappy, which kind of threw me off, took me a minute. He said, I was just telling Dale, it never matters what Protemus is having. It's always an amazing turnout. It's great that you're faithful to the church. Are you faithful to Jesus? Are you faithful to Him? Do you spend time with Him? Do you seek Him for who He is? Well, I'm not going to church because you don't know what they did to me. Quit getting butt hurt over people who did not know who they were in Christ when they did what they did to you. Quit getting upset about people who had no idea their identity in Christ and they come along and they hurt you. Come on now, listen to me. I've been there. Church hurt is real. Amen. I will say that. I've been hurt by churches before myself. It's not what I'm saying. Quit letting people dictate your emotions. Because you know what that says? My faith and my trust has went into people and not Jesus. People will let you down, amen? Every time. How many of y'all at work have ever worked in a supervisor in type position? We all have, amen? At some level, it may not be a job, but some type of platform where we've been in charge of something. And people have let you down. I remember doing a small floor job, 800 square feet of flooring. It's not a lot, amen? I could do it in a day. But it was a lot of cutting. It was a weird angle. And this guy comes along and he says, man, I know how to do this. And the boss left me in charge. Find somebody, hire them, see what they know. Okay. So I hire this guy. That was a bad idea, Maria, leaving me in charge to hire somebody. I want to help people, you know. The guy had a great, pitiful, sad story. And I was like, you need to work, man. I need help. You're hired. He had no idea what he was doing. It took us 3 days to do 800 square feet of flooring. It was terrible. But I'm going to tell you something. God's not sitting here looking for the qualified. He's not sitting back going, I don't know if I can use them or not. If you're willing, He will use you. Amen. You want to be used by God this morning? I promise you this. If you would just say simply this, Father God, use me. Send me people that I can be a witness to and sit back and watch Him work. Every morning, my prayer is simply that. Father God, put me in the path of somebody that needs You today. And you know what? Every day I find somebody that's in need of Him. Every day. Like clockwork. Never fails. I want to tell you this, church. And I want you to understand what I'm just telling you. He came to give us life more abundantly because He's a good shepherd. He's not a hired hand that says, trouble's here, I got to go. He's a good, good father. Not only is He a good, good father, but He is a father who loves His children. A matter of fact, He loved us so much, yet while we were still sinners, He went to the cross and died for us. But I want to tell you this, the attacks are temporary. The abundance of the Father shows us that not only is He a good shepherd, He is our guide. And this morning, I want you to understand what I'm just going to say, and I'm going to get ready to close with this. Verse 12 says, but he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth a wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scareth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. Jesus said, I am a good shepherd and I know my sheep and am known of mine. He said, I know you. Do you know me? Catch that. He says, I know you, but do you know me? This morning, if you're sitting under the sound of my breath, and this is where I'm being more serious than I can be with anything in my entire life, I don't care if you've been in church for 25 years, been baptized, and you say, Pastor, I said the prayer, I accepted Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior this one time. You can always know that because you're saved doesn't mean that you're listening to the right voice. Listen to me. Jesus said, my sheep hear and obey my voice, and a stranger's voice they will not follow. What voice are you listening to this morning, ladies and gentlemen? Do you hear Him? Do you know Him? The most important question you could ever answer in your own personal walk right now is, do I know Him as my personal Lord and Savior? Have I accepted Jesus to be my Savior? Because life is hard, things are tough, and I don't know what I would do without Him. Maybe you've got to that point in your life where you're so far out of the field, out of the pasture, that you're looking and you're trying to find the gate to get back in. Saying, I just need to get back to my shepherd, the one that knows me. Because life is hard. This morning, I want to take you right to that gate, if that's where you're at. This morning, I want you, every head bowed, every eye closed. Hey, it's Pastor Tom. I hope and pray this message touched your heart. And maybe even today you're asking yourself, do I know Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior? You know, oftentimes in life we find ourselves in the mix of life. And life is hard, it's difficult. But if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and today you say, you know what, I want to do that. I want to accept Jesus. I want to know Him on a more intimate level. If that's you, my friend, today I want to pray with you. Simply just pray this. Father God, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to send Jesus to come and dwell in my heart and to be the Lord of my life. I know that I'm in need of a Savior, and without Him, I would be nothing. Amen. My friend, today, if you prayed that prayer, I want to hear from you. You can email me at PastorTomCrandall@gmail.com. I want to hear from you. I want to send you a Bible. I want to send you some information on how to continue to walk with Christ. I love you, my friend. All the angels in heaven are rejoicing with you. God bless you.